Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Now your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome to the show. Today I'm playing excerpts of a panel I hosted recently at the ATARC Mobility Summit. My guests on the panel were Renetta Spinks, the Cyber Technology Officer for the Marine Corps, David Harris, a security architect for the Interior Department, and Gemma Howell, an IT security engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. First, we hear from David Harris from the Interior Department, and then from Renetta Spinks of the Marine Corps.
I've been working with FMG for a bit, and before the Federal Mobility Group, and before that, as you may have heard earlier, it was sort of the combining the mobile technology Tiger team with the mobile service category team, which were two organizations that were sort of working groups that were in operation. And it was a great idea in DHS, sponsored by the CIO Council, to combine those into one entity because there was just so many opportunities now for collaboration across those communities. One, just working really in sort of the nitty-gritty with mobile device security, and the other taking sort of a good comprehensive perspective on carrier cost and, you know, opportunities for the government to save money.
What about the Federal Mobile Working Group? We heard a good kind of a good update earlier from a couple of other panelists. Are you a part of a specific subsection of the working group? Like, what are you working on specifically?
Presently, I'm working on mobility metrics that all of the CIOs across the government have to report on a quarterly basis. We have a working group comprised of industry and government. ATARC provides logistical support and for the activities and transpires with our group. We make recommendations for current metrics, and we kind of look at what's going on across government and industry, looking at mobility, threats to mobility, and make plans for future metrics.
Are you able to talk a little bit through those metrics a little bit?
Sure.
All right. So like a metric to me is how many mobile devices you have. Is that a good metric?
If we were just brand new and hit it and we're around the table, that would be up there at the top of the whiteboard. We would start there, right?
But we're not new.
So these past metrics are available on the federal website for the public. So you can kind of see the history of past metrics. And that's sort of a starting point. We know agencies and departments have MDM programs, the mobile device management programs, and sort of the new thing that's sort of hitting is we're trying to mature mobile device management practices. So we're looking at a mobile threat defense technologies, application vetting, all of the things that we've kind of heard earlier today. You know, securing mobile devices is kind of very different from securing traditional desktops. It's just a different animal, if you will. You kind of have an always-on internet connection that kind of you have to think about. For our agency, we have a lot of field deployment, so maybe we don't always have always-on internet connections because we may be operating in usually we're in low bandwidth environments, or sometimes we're in no bandwidth environments. So we still may have some mission work we need to do before we kind of reconnect to the connected world. So the metrics working group is, we have a great group, and if anyone's in there in industry or government that's looking to join, we meet every month, and I think we have a lot of great things that we're gonna push forward with.
All right, good. We learned something. I didn't know there was metrics. Renata, talk about the Marine Corps.
Good morning, everyone. So Marine Corps is working on a lot of things in the mobility. We call them strategic partnerships that we're looking at trying to establish. So our working groups are kind of sort of referred to as OPTs, and so they're operational planning teams. Some of the challenges and problems that we're trying to solve is a myriad of things, but our favorite one is anything that can provide more service on the garrison side as well as the tactical. So as we look at how do we support our naval counterparts and that mission to make sure that the fleet has what it needs, that's mobility. You have a ship that's always on the go. You have sailors that we need to keep the morale up so they can continue to communicate with their families. We also have to address the pacing threat of, while we definitely want open communication with family, friends, being able to stay adept with new technologies, go to school, watch the YouTube videos and do a lot of continuous learning, we also have to consider how much risk we want to accept. And so that's a lot of the challenges that we are consistently looking for industry to help us try to figure out. Part of that challenge, problem-solving strategic approach, is the establishment of the Deputy Commandant of Information for the United States Marine Corps. That is currently a position within the Marine Corps that's still pretty young compared to how old the Marine Corps is, but it's a very important position because that Deputy Commandant of Information is the person who advocates across the Marine Corps during these OPTs. We are just finishing up a working group with DISA and Apple. We are looking at iPhones. Right now we're currently using Samsungs. A lot of challenges with Samsung Android. I'm pretty sure everyone is familiar with that. We're all in the security realm. So we're looking at how can we better utilize the design from an engineering perspective. So we spent a lot of time going out to California, actually on the Apple campus. Some people think it is a vacation. I will tell you, it is not. We are in the room working. My eyes are just glossing over at how much the engineers are really forward thinking and some of the things that we in the Department of Defense don't really have all the answers for. And sometimes we're not even thinking about those challenges. So that's one area that I wanted to highlight to everyone today. We are looking at midpoints and endpoint security tools and how we can look at how modernization truly transforms the way we do business in the Marine Corps and the Navy. So trying to get away from the buzzwords and get away, you know, just get to action and actually having results. So how do we modernize while what I like to call keep the lights on? We still have business operations going consistently, so how can we do those things? So those are two working groups I definitely wanted to highlight.
So it's interesting that you guys are looking to move. What's the end result from the Apple DISA working group? Are you hoping to make recommendations to the Commandant to say we should move in a specific direction, or just open the aperture a little bit to say not only Samsung phones, but we have other options now too, or so all of the above?
So we're taking a two-pronged approach. We definitely like to have options, and our options do result into recommendations to the Commandant. Those recommendations address not only metrics, like my counterpart David here just talked about, discovering what's on the network, why that's important to security, as well as cost. Everyone knows we are incurring all kinds of budget cuts, so it's not about what the money we have is doing for us, it's how we're spending it. We're trying to make sure that return of investment gets us to where we need to be with the right amount of risk that we're willing to accept. So it's a two-pronged approach that turns into advocacy for more funding to focus on mobility and figuring out the security versus throwing a bunch of tools at a problem. Looking at automation. So it comes from recommendations of having options, but also with these options, here's the level of risk we're accepting, and then asking him for his decision on, you know, where do you want to see the service go?
So that's actually interesting, because a lot of people would say, well, don't you know what's on your network, and don't you know how much you're spending? And I think one of the biggest challenges that the military services face is there's this kind of confluence of yeah, we handed out a lot of devices and we know most of them, but there's also the personal device. And is that kind of what you're going through right now, is to really get that baseline?
So we're not quite yet at bring your own device. It's something we are thinking about. But the enumeration of the network is complicated, because we do have multiple networks. We're still looking at domain consolidation and elimination. We're looking at that data center consolidation. We have a lot of mandates that are necessary, but in order to make sure you're meeting the mail, you have to actually enumerate your network, and sometimes there's some dark spots depending on where you're trying to look.
So you're surprised a little bit sometimes.
It is very surprising.
We have to take a break. You just heard from Renetta Spinks, the cyber technology officer for the Marine Corps, and before her was David Harris, the security architect at the Interior Department. They were on a panel I moderated at the recent ATARC Mobility Summit. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Today, I'm playing excerpts of a panel I hosted recently at the ATARC Mobility Summit. My guests on the panel were Renetta Spinks, the cyber technology officer for the Marine Corps, David Harris, a security architect for the Interior Department, and Gemma Howell, an IT security engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. In this part of the show, you first hear from Gemma Howell of NIST, and then the audience asks the panel questions.
I am the NIST co-chair on the Federal Mobility Group. And then what you may not know is that NIST does more than write standards. Just recently, I'm going to say we do more than write, and then I'm going to talk about a document that we just came out. But the document is 1800-21, and it's mobile device security for corporately owned and personally enabled devices. And what we did was, yes, we wrote information about it, but we actually worked with industry and got some commercially available tools in-house to kind of put the standards to work. And so what we did initially was we went through a risk assessment process, and actually this was one of our first times actually going through the privacy risk assessment process as well, using their methodology, the PRAM. And we took the threats and privacy concerns identified, bundled that with meeting the government standards, reached out, collaborated with industry, got some mobile device security tools in-house, and then we showed how you can mitigate specific threats within your enterprise when doing this corporately owned, personally enabled kind of deployment within your organization. And so we recently put that out. It kind of walks through the process of what we did, how you could do it within your own organization. And then we also have a follow-up document that kind of goes through something similar, but from a BYOD standpoint. And also in that practice guide, we'll demonstrate how to use the cybersecurity framework profile kind of aspect. How do you step through that? What does that look like? And then how do you incorporate the mobile security technologies to mitigate your concerns there?
Now, to be clear, the corporate device, that's just bring it to a government speak. That's a government-furnished device?
Yes.
Okay. But the BYOD one is not out yet.
Right.
That's coming.
Right.
All right. And it's interesting that you guys used to brought in privacy for the first time, and I know that's been a big push from NIST to add privacy, different sections of privacy for 853 and some of the other devices. What did that add complexity to the test? Did the privacy piece do what? Like, what difference did it make versus just regular security testing, if you will?
It definitely brought to our attention a different aspect. So what we did was we actually talked with each of the vendors about the different privacy capabilities that they offered. And what are they doing with the data? How do they handle the data? What user information do they get? Do they store it? How do they dispose of it? It's something that we don't typically think about as far as the user's perspective and how these different technologies handle it. And so it gave us more insight into that, and it started a different conversation, and it was very cool, a very cool process to go through.
All right, because I know privacy over the years has been one of those things where, you know, security and privacy, but then it kind of gets, not, I wouldn't say left out, but it's kind of like gets pushed underneath. And I know NIST has really been a big advocate of bringing it to the higher level. So, definitely. All right. Let's start with questions. All right, let them know who you are, please.
All right. Morning, I am Lieutenant Kenny Miltenberger, U.S. Coast Guard. So my question's for Renetta, and I was wondering if you could expand upon the Marine Corps' efforts to bring mobility to the tactical edge. The applications and the devices specifically of what are you enabling at the tactical edge and what are your challenges?
So that's a great question. I'll start with the challenges first. So the challenges that we face right now is how do you continue to have a persistent connection while maintaining security in a degraded environment? So right now we have a pilot that's going on. It's vendor specific, but it is a application that is widely used. And we've had challenges with certain things as identity and access management, capturing profiles from the business side into this degraded environment without losing the authenticity or the privacy security piece. So that's one challenge. The second challenge is just getting the thing to work. We get over the hurdles of identity, domain name controllers. Okay, we're either, you know, single tenant, multi tenant. We get past all those challenges, and then it doesn't work, you know. And so, from a combatant command perspective, up at Marfor Cyber, we work with Fleet Cyber a lot, and so some of those challenges are easily met with impatience. So while we like to concentrate on technical complexities as our challenges, I think one large piece is getting over the expectation and being realistic that this is not something we can figure out, because the industry is still trying to help us figure it out as well. Some of the things we have enabled is we do have mobility in certain areas within our garrison networks. A lot of our degraded environments or areas that, like at 3MEF out in Okinawa, we do have what we call a MCEN that is deployed. MCEN is the Marine Corps Enterprise Network. So that is consistently being run, and there's multiple exercises. So we're looking for that team of metrics, as well as the people who are kind of hands on the ground, to push us back to say, here's some of the things we're experiencing, here's some of the things we're getting over. But then it's, okay, when all that goes away, what happens? And so that I think that's going to be the deal breaker there. I hope I answered your question.
All right, David, I'm going to put you on the spot, so I'm going to give you a minute to think about the same question, because Interior also has very similar challenges with the degraded environment. But I have a follow-up for Renata real quick. You talked about the pilot without going into too many details. The goal is to test the application, like where? You said degraded environment. When I think of Garrison, for instance, CONUS, how degraded can it be, right? I mean, but when I think of if the Marines are in the Middle East somewhere, well, that may be that's a bigger degraded environment. So can you go through the test a little bit? Like, I know how sensitive it gets to be.
So from our test and evaluation perspective, there are three things we're testing. We're testing bandwidth, we're testing capability, and we're testing does the thing work. And so there are multiple areas that the military can be that can spin up those type of exercises. So without going into detail, we are testing true environments. And we do get feedback. And then we also take advantage of creating environments through simulations. So sometimes in a lab, you can disconnect everything and still get some of the same questions answered without needing the actual physical environment from a climate change perspective.
Very good. David, put you on the spot, just a little bit from Interior's perspective. You guys are doing this similar thing as the Marine Corps with the low bandwidth environments?
So with Interior, we have a very diverse set of different bureaus that are doing things: Bureau of Land Management, Geological Survey, Bureau of Reclamation. They deal with water out in the West. And so a lot of these environments where we have personnel operating, it's very low bandwidth, sparse communications capabilities. We have folks at kind of monitoring hazards such as volcanoes, and they're close to those volcanoes. We don't have a lot of infrastructure there. So from a mobile device perspective, we may have sensors and whatnot where our mobile devices can connect and collect data that, you know, when they get back to the connected world, they can push out. And, you know, with our sort of first generation security products for mobile devices, they kind of, you know, assume that you always had this connected state, and they, you know, those would be the first folks, these remote areas, they would be the first folks to call and say, hey, OCIO, you know, this thing is not cutting it. Renata was saying, you know, stuff doesn't work. And so there's a lot of challenges with those low bandwidth environments. And I did want to touch on one thing that you had mentioned earlier about privacy, just a little off topic just for a quick second. Sometimes things are coming at you from privacy that you don't even expect. I think I was reading couple of weeks ago about there was an attack where the accelerometer of your mobile device was used to monitor the vibrations of human speech, and these, you know, a file was collected and, you know, maybe pushed out via some malware to a foreign point where that file could be operated on using, you know, all kinds of powerful cloud-enabled algorithms and processes to map that accelerometer sensing of speech and convert it into text so that the voice could be, you know, the conversation could be understood. So, you know, there's, you know, the misuse of sensors for mobile devices and having that privacy now, as I think you mentioned, 853, the Rev 5 controls, having that as being more prominent of things you need to worry about with protection in the mobile space is just good timing.
As I was sitting here thinking, like, oh, there are some things that we have been doing at location-specific. So a lot of the testing and problems we're trying to solve, those answers are coming from the UCOM. So in Europe, a lot of, if you probably remember a few tweets back in a couple months ago, we had some teams out in Norway, and so we got a lot of data that came from there. And we also, one new working group I just thought about is our sensor modernization. I'm still from you. But we do have a sensor modernization project that's coming up right now that we are actually looking for ways we can put more sensors out, and then that data analytics piece, and how do you determine what data you're going to be, you know, pulling in, and how important that is before we actually deploy our Marines.
We have to take a break. You just heard from Gemma Howell, an IT security engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. She was on a panel I moderated at the ATARC Mobility Summit. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Today, I'm playing excerpts of a panel I moderated at the recent ATARC Mobility Summit. My guests on the panel were Renetta Spinks, the cyber technology officer from the Marine Corps, David Harris, a security architect for the Interior Department, and Gemma Howell, an IT security engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. In this part of the show, the audience continues to ask questions of the panel.
Carlo DeGuzman, Air Force Logistics Cybersecurity. My question is for Gemma. So as you were writing 1821, how did you demark the endpoint from its enterprise, like MDM or EMM? And how did you define that and demark it? And also for BYOD, as you define that, what is your main focus aside from privacy?
How did we kind of separate from the email aspect? Is that what?
How did you separate the endpoint from the enterprise?
Oh yes, EMM.
Define a security level, but you don't want to define everything from soup to nuts. You probably want to demark it at some point.
So maybe if I explain kind of the architecture, I might get to it a little better. So what we did was we did use an EMM, so we enrolled all the devices within an EMM, and then we had different integrations with that. So an application vetting tool to vet the apps that the enterprise would be using, a mobile threat defense on the endpoint standpoint, VPN running back and forth, also integrated and applied through the EMM. And so we enforced a lot of policies and things like that through the EMM. And I think I'm missing something, sorry.
Here, hold on.
The second one.
I had to get a new microphone because, you know, I used it all up. What is your second question?
The second question is, as you do BYOD, what is the most important aspect of security that you're focusing on besides privacy?
So that's interesting. For BYOD, we really wanted to demonstrate a different risk profile. And so the COPE, or the corporately owned, personally enabled deployment, we took from kind of like a government standpoint. So the EMM is hosted on premise. From the BYOD standpoint, this is a smaller company, an accounting firm that still has some information that they want to protect, but they're able to use cloud services. And so Right now what we're doing is we're scoping the, we come up with these fictional organizations to help scope the story. And so we're using that to develop this different risk profile. How do you handle cloud services? How do you handle these devices that aren't your own, that people are bringing in? How do you run checks to see if they're jailbroken and things like that? So we're still working through that and trying to understand, based on this fictional organization, what are the specific risks and things that they have to think about.
Can I ask you a question to follow up on the BYOD? Sure. Was there an impetus for that? Was it something that agencies or organizations were requesting NIST to do? Or is that just where NIST is kind of looking 3 to 5 years from now, everyone's going to be in BYOD, let's get in front of it?
Well, we took it as was a common use case. The most common deployments seem to be the corporately owned and the BYOD, especially from the kind of smaller business aspect where folks may not have the money to provide the phones. They may just allow users to use their own phone in some aspects, especially I do a lot of work with public safety as well. And so especially from that aspect where they don't necessarily have the funding to provide phones to everyone, they may just find different methods to deploy the necessary apps and things to their first responders.
I thought you were going to get down the path of derived credentials. I was very excited for half a second. I thought we were going to talk two-factor authentication with derived credentials in your... Here we go. Question over here.
How much research or how much work have you done for public-facing apps and integrations for security around those sorts of things?
This is for Gemma or for all of them? Gemma.
Okay. So as far as public-facing apps, we do a lot... Previously, I did a lot of work with application vetting and the different processes and different tools that could be used to perform, to do application vetting, kind of understanding what this application does. Is it encrypting data in transit and things like that? Doing that analysis up front before provisioning that app to the device, and then having a way to monitor what apps are being used by the folks within your enterprise and organization. Beyond that, not too much from my perspective, but there are other folks in the application vetting space or mobile app vetting space who are working on that, especially in the public safety area.
And actually, let's expand that question a little bit. David and Renata, how are you guys dealing with mobile apps within your agencies or within the Federal Mobility Working Group? Because obviously we've seen Homeland Security Department, for instance, come up with their car wash program several years ago. We've seen the CIO Council come up with mobile app vetting playbooks or at least some sort of recommendations. How are you guys dealing with the commercial apps within your organizations?
In terms of apps for mobile devices, at least for our organization, we're not that mature with provisioning apps out there. Our mobile devices are, we do a lot with messaging and data collection, you know, we might have people out in the parks taking pictures of endangered species. We have a lot of GPS-based applications where we're just recording pictures and where they are, or, you know, that data is very important. So we kind of use sort of the native apps that are on the phone. Of course, email and messaging is sort of our main bread and butter applications for mobile for right now. So we're just kind of starting to get more engaged with application development. I think we've been working with GSA and their 18th and F, some of the organizations that have been derived from that sort of startup organization in terms of getting more mission-focused applications.
So Marine Corps has a Chief Technology Officer, Jen Edgins. She's DCI's War Room lead, and they just finished up the Accelerator program for mobility. And during that study for that working group, that was a 10 to 12 week sprint using more of the Agile scaled framework that's pretty effective when you're trying to do the problem solving or design thinking. But what came out of that was this work personal profile. And so what work personal went to capture was, although we have government furnished equipment, which is the Samsung devices, we had to truly depend on, okay, how is it that with Samsung you have to use, you know, your Gmail account, right? And so, of course, to even set the phone up, that's what we had to make a decision. Do we make that a .gov mandate, which is the challenge with the Apple working group, or do we allow the @gmail.com to come inside of our environment or our network And then we use this mobile app called Knox. I think you probably have all heard of it. And so that study was pretty eye-opening. That document is releasable, so I can make sure that people have access to that. Just have to remind me. But making sure that that work personal profile is the very first step to how do we achieve that bring your own device. That's the end goal. And so, of course, as the Chief Technology Officer of the Marine Corps, Jen Edgins is more of how do we use tools and how do we automate and how do we use that risk profile and the NIST standards to make sure we're following all the privacy guidelines as well as architecture and design. And then you have Marfor Cyber who comes into the room and starts talking Intel informed. You know, have we really done the research to know that there are certain vulnerabilities that have been exposed from different parts of your network? And so how do we coalesce and how do we get that happy balance and that happy medium? So to answer your question, we are still in the process of doing the research, but we are approaching it more of industry standards are easy to find. It's the intel piece that's most difficult to figure out. How do you maintain the high level of clearance the information is at while bringing this new capability into the environment for your users?
And just one more thing, just on the something that we heard about a lot from the security and privacy standpoint is that, you know, how do I know what these apps are doing? And so we got a lot of feedback and thoughts on, you know, the situation where the troops overseas had this app that was tracking their location. You can kind of see where they were running their paths. And so how can I get that information? How can I ensure that the folks that are using these devices don't have those types of apps and those adding that particular risk to their own situation into the organization? So we definitely point out different ways to mitigate things like that.
We have to take a break. Today I'm playing an excerpt of a panel I moderated at the ATARC Mobility Summit. I'm Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Today, I'm playing excerpts of a panel I moderated at the recent ATARC Mobility Summit. My guests on the panel were Renetta Spinks, the Cyber Technology Officer from the Marine Corps, David Harris, a Security Architect for the Interior Department, and Gemma Howell, an IT Security Engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. In this part of the show, the audience continues to ask questions of the panel.
All of your devices on one network, do they co-mingle together? Or do you separate your BYOD from your government issue? Bringing in your own device, you're more susceptible to having more risk, more so than that government device, because that's a pre-staged device. So it was just...
Right. Yeah, so we do segment it out. So we do apply containers, make sure that separation is there between the personal information on the device and the enterprise information and how that is able to communicate back and forth with the enterprise.
So with Marine Corps, we're still maturing. We still haven't made a business decision on BYOD. But at a previous agency, some past experience, it was segmented. We did not mix. We did not co-mingle, as you would say, as well as we added a lot more scrutiny to our continuous monitoring program. So a lot of different architectural designs for the BYOD users. The end-user license agreement was different. The rules of behavior was different. It was a whole program within itself, just for the fact that you have pre-staged. We kind of know the risk there. The risk is known versus BYOD. That's a luxury, in my opinion. In order to have luxury, you have to pay a bigger price to for the rules of behavior.
David.
BYOD is, you know, such a challenge. Provenance of the BYOD device, right? Where did it come from? With the what we call GFE, government furnished equipment, we have a little more control over the provenance. Maybe GFE is out and COP is in, corporately owned, personally enabled, right? So maybe I'm a little old school there talking about the GFE. But for interior, we do a container type solution where your corporate data or your government data is in the container, and then the user's world is external to it. If there's an online connectivity, if we need to wipe that container, we can wipe that container. But that's kind of where we are with that. But we see BYOD growing, and there's so many security challenges that need to additionally be considered, and there's a lot of good work going on to address those challenges.
And when you wrote, if there's a problem and you're wiping the container, you're just wiping the container, you're not wiping David's entire phone.
Right, because we have to kind of brief our users on what the deal is when they get this container. And if they heard that we could hit a button and their stuff is gone, we wouldn't have any customers for that service. So it's just wiping the government space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so as far as the National Security Agency, we take the phone. You go a full forensics investigation. That's not BYOD because we don't have phones in our facilities. But sometimes people make mistakes. They bring the phone in, et cetera. Our scanners pick them up. And, you know, you get the question of, do you have a phone with you? And if the answer is yes, sometimes it is a challenge because of insider threat. So you just can't take things for granted. So we do confiscate the phone. Those are things that when you sign up for the cyber services, you agree to that knowledge. It goes through a full mobile forensics investigation, and once your device has been cleared, you get it back. And I will, in all transparency, say I don't think we stop and back up stuff, or yeah, we don't do any of that. We just do our job and then just hand the phone back to the user.
Okay, another question.
How do you communicate to the customers that they're not really owners of their device, in essence that you're controlling their device to some extent?
So I wouldn't say we would control their devices, but there's a lot of professionals called strategic communicators. We hire them because making sure your end user understands we're providing them a service that right. most times in your employee satisfaction survey or what we call our climate surveys, that's what people are asking for. And so it's more of like road shows, town halls, engaging one-on-one with the users. And that rules of behavior document, I've written a few of those and they are very explicit. It's really not as resistant as probably people think. I have actually had the experience of the user saying, oh, okay, I don't care, I'm not doing anything wrong on my phone, that's fine. I'd rather just take one phone than two, or in my case, three. So it's not as a hard sell once you are very transparent with the risk. And then there's a lot of different things that we don't allow within our applications. I haven't met any resistance until something happens. Now, when something happens, the rules of behavior document that they sign, you know, tend to get selective amnesia that document even exists. And so those are the times we implore our strategic communication team and the privacy office. And we just kind of make sure that we're engaging with HR to make sure that we aren't making a mistake as technologists, because we're not the professionals. So I would just urge, as we are doing all this mobility study, these VPNs and all these great things that we want to do as technology emerges and we want to make things a little easier for the user, that we also loop in your privacy office and HR, because sometimes we can start violating people's civility and their rights. And that's just all honesty.
All right, another question.
Carl DeGuzman, Air Force. This is for David and Renata. I think it's hard to talk about mobile functionality without talking about also cloud interaction. Do you guys have any issues with FedRAMP and the DoD Cloud SRG and trying to use either mobile, SAS MDMs, EMMs, or other purposes like Box or whatever you need to make your mobile solution complete?
You want to go first or you want me to?
Yeah, I'll start with that. So mobile devices and cloud and FedRAMP and file cloud storage services like Box, right? So that's all kind of problematic just right there. And then in the earlier session, we heard a reference to challenges with the TIC, with the Trusted Internet Connection, and mobility traffic. So let's just add that to the mix. So things are being done now. I believe Ms. Nguyen alluded to new guidance that's going to be coming out from OMB, sort of final guidance. That's guidance plus the architectural way forward for how to manage traffic going out from mobile devices, flexibilities that may be allowed, because the landscape kind of changed on what we thought we were going to need to have control over. So you're talking more about the file storage?
Or
So for the EMM, yeah, that's definitely the way forward in terms of cloud-based security services. And it's good that the FedRAMP program has kind of been underway for a good while. It's kind of had several iterations of review and refinement. So it's really at a good point. It's not like a mobile device vendor is you know, knocking on GSA's door trying to get information on FedRAMP and they say, oh, you know, we just kind of just did it. You know, it's like kind of been there, done that. So there's a lot of efficiencies that are in place now that were a result of lessons learned. So I think the adoption of, or even better, maybe the time to market for mobile device security companies to have a FedRAMP cloud part of their product is going to be a shorter time for them to get there. But we do like the FedRAMP because it's a nice common security baseline that you already know what's going to be. And of course, in terms of an authorization, there's always tailoring of a baseline to suit your risk appetite.
That's all the time we have for today. On the show, I played excerpts of a panel I hosted recently at the ATARC Mobility Summit. My guests on that panel were Renetta Spinks, the Cyber Technology Officer for the Marine Corps, David Harris, a Security Architect for the Interior Department, and Gemma Howell, an IT Security Engineer at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. I'm Jason Miller, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network. Tune in Thursday mornings at 10 or subscribe to this show on iTunes or Podcast One.